Blog Talk Radio.
All right, what did I do with the pick? Oh, did it? Well, amen. I'm not sure if our listeners are tuned in just yet or not, but if they're not, they'll catch up. And if they are, we welcome them in. Coming to everybody who's listening to us today and the rest of the world, as they used to say on Wrestling in Parts Unknown. Amen. There's people in parts unknown listening to this, no doubt. Parts unknown to me, anyway. I hadn't got out of the United States far enough to see what else is out there. Don't really care to know. I figure when the Lord returns and we go up with Him, and then we come back during that 1,000 years, I'll have plenty of time to visit all the other places I didn't get to in this life. There's lots to be done, I'm sure, in other places. But anyway, it's good to be here with you this morning. And we've gotten through the parables that Jesus taught there. We're moving on to something else. And this is after He's taught them in parables, after He's gone back into a house and sat down with them and explained to them and made sure they understood everything. And then we're going to find ourselves in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27. Matthew chapter 8, 23 through 27. We're gonna read this because it's recorded in three different gospels, and we're gonna look at all three of them, but we'll come back to this one. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 through 27 says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll read that one, and then we'll look at the account in Luke as well. Mark chapter 4, 36. Mark 4, 36. The Bible says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And as he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? One other place, Luke 8, 22 through 25. Luke 8, 22 through 25. The Bible says in Luke 8, 22 and following, Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. You read that, you might think, well, that wasn't very far, just crossed the lake. But if you ever looked at a map and seen the Sea of Galilee, I mean, it's about a 30-mile trip. I mean, you know, Lake Michigan is also a lake, but it's like the ocean too. So was this lake at times. All right, and they launched forth, verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before your throne this morning, and Lord, I know that you have power over all things. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing's impossible. Lord, nothing in this world should frighten us if we're in your hands. Father God, I pray that, Lord, this message today would be a comfort to troubled souls, comfort to troubled hearts, peace. Lord, for those who have unrest, Father, help us to refocus our eyes upon Jesus. Help us, Father, to lay our fears down. Help us, Father, to lay aside anxiety and worry and panic and anything else, Lord, that may come between us and you. Father God, remind us through the message today that the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us, is able to keep us. Father, you're able to, and everything that we have in this life comes from you. Everything we face in this life, you know about, you bring about, you bring it to pass, and you bring us through it. Father, I pray, Lord, that you give us a clear understanding of these things today. Help me, Lord, to speak in such a way, Lord, that it's easy for them to understand. Lord God, I pray you'd help me to say everything clearly. I pray, Lord, that you help me to slow down and say the things that ought to be said. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that you speak to hearts today. Lord, I know that I'm nothing. I know, Lord, that I can do nothing without thee. So, Lord, I ask thee for power today. Speak through me, Lord. Use me today, Lord, in spite of me. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Holy Ghost of God, I plead with you to fill me and use me. Pour me out today, Lord. Use me for Christ's glory and honor. And, Lord, I pray for those who couldn't be with us because of illness. Father, so many people are sick. So much sickness everywhere. Lord God, please heal them. Lord, please be with the folks at the nursing home tonight that we were going to be able to go see, but, Lord, we're not now. Lord, I pray, Father, that you please comfort them and help them, Lord, in our absence. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you touch our hearts today. Lord, you really speak to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of the message today, if you want to put a title on it, is Why Do We Ever Doubt? Why Do We Ever Fear? Why Are We Ever Afraid? I mean, honestly, why? We really don't have a real reason unless you want to be real with me and say, well, preacher, we're living in this world. I mean, there's all kinds of things come up. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to deal with it. Well, I hope that by the time I'm done, you have a better perspective on who you are as a child of God. Pray for me. My throat is scratchy. I hope that God shows you through this message that even though you see things in your life and you question why, what's God doing? Has God forgotten me? Has God give up on me? Has God just left me to fail? I mean, at times the devil will put these ideas into your mind. You know, he's very good at doing that. That's what the devil does. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. So he spends his time when he's not tempting people to fall down in sins of the flesh. He tempts us with sins of the heart and mind. He causes us to question God. He causes us to doubt God. He causes us to fear that something terrible is going to happen to us that somehow God didn't see or God can't do anything about. The devil, that's his job. That's what he does. And he's very real, and he's very, very much at work in our life, even though we can't see it sometimes. We don't understand it sometimes. We blame God sometimes for the things that the devil is doing in our lives. So I want to get into this morning. Why do we ever doubt? And again, I want to focus on what he said. He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So the Lord's people, that's those of us that are in the boat with Jesus. We're all in the boat with Jesus. Those of us that follow the Lord, those of us who try to stay near to the Lord, That's who he's saying this to. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? He's talking to us. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to his people. And so first, I want to go right to it. Why is it that we doubt him? Why would we doubt? Number one, why in the world would we doubt Christ's love for us? Think about that. Why would they doubt? I mean, these are his disciples. You understand who these men are. These men have been with him ever since he started his ministry. They've been walking with him since he started his ministry. You and I have been walking through his ministry in the pages of the Word of God. You and I have seen all the things that he's done. You and I have seen where he's raised dead people. He's opened blind eyes. He's opened deaf ears. He's healed palsied hands. He's healed lame legs. He's done all these things in front. He's cast out devils. He's done all these things in front of these men. They've been with him every day and every night since they began following him. And here Jesus said, hey, let's get into the boat and let's go across the lake. Let's go across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. It's nighttime. It's getting falling. Evening's falling, about twilight. And, you know, the day's over and they're getting into the boat. And so, again, they get out in the middle of the sea. What happens? Nighttime, cooler air comes down them mountains, hits the warm air that was there. What's going to happen? Wind. Big, big wind's going to hit that water. And all of a sudden, that water ain't safe to be on, is it? You're getting boats. I know you're getting boats, Ronnie. I know you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the wind gives up. Man, it gets scary out there. I've been out in the middle of the lake and the wind, I mean, big gust of wind start blowing, waves getting choppy, and, you know, I mean, it turned a boat over. And that's what was happening. That's exactly what was happening. And I don't know how big this boat was. But in my mind, I picture this boat, oh, maybe being 20, 30 foot long. It's probably a fishing boat. And so we're not talking about a canoe. We're talking about a pretty good sized vessel. But you got to understand, the wind's blowing. That thing's just rocking and reeling back and forth, and water's lapping over the sides. Waves, big waves rolling, crashing into that boat. That ship's going up, and it's going down, it's going up, and it's going down. I mean, it'd make you want to vomit your guts out over the side. That's how it is, how it's doing. And they got scared. Honestly, they got afraid. But I ask, you know, and you and I, maybe we're not in a boat on the water, but let's use this for what it's teaching us. What our boat is us with the Lord. And the waves are the world that we live in, and the trials and the tribulations are the world that we live in. And we're in the boat with Christ. I mean, we're there with. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you're in the boat with the Lord. So why would you doubt his love? And he brought you onto the stormy sea. He asked you to get on board the boat. All the time he knew the storm was coming. Think about that. He knew the storm was coming. I mean, sometimes things start going on in our life, and I mean, bad things happen to us. Do you think when those things happen, well, God doesn't love me? God don't love me no more. Well, you wouldn't dare think that, would you? No, of course not. If you look back at your past, if you look back and you see how patient God has been with you throughout your life. Think about it. Have you been a slow learner? I have. I admit it. I've been a slow learner. God's had to thump me time and time and time and time again. Are you listening over here? Are you listening or are you zoned out? Listen to me now. Are you a slow learner when it comes to God? Does God have to thump you upside the head time and time again to get you to understand his word, to get you to understand his principles for the Christian life and how to have victory in this life. I mean, how to get over this sin and not let it have dominion over you anymore, and how to get loose from this sin. And I mean, those sometimes we're just stubborn as we can be. But God's been patient with us, hasn't he? I think he has. Has it made Jesus so angry that he gave up on you? No. He's still just gone right on teaching you, hasn't he? Day by day, he hasn't changed a bit. He's still just doing exactly what he's always done. Think about when he first saved you by his grace. Think about that. Think about what you were when he found you. Think about how you were when he saved you. Listen, You ever think about how you've been since he saved you? Have you been perfect since he saved you? No. But has he continued to love you? Has he thrown you away? No. Think back. Think back at how many times he's been there for you. Think about how he's brought you through trials, and he's brought you through severe burdens, heavy things that have been on your life, holding you up even though you're going through hard times and trials. I mean, he's been there for you. I mean, don't we trust him? So why would we doubt him when things come at us like this? Why in the world would they? They've been with him all along. He's been met their every need. He's taken care of them. So why would we, just like them disciples, when the bottom falls out, say, ah, what's he going to do? We're going to die. You know, that's what he did. That's what they were doing. We're going to die. Lord, save us. We're perishing here. We're going to go down. And a lot of times we get in those situations of life, and that's the way we feel. This is it. I'm done. I'm toast. But yet if you go to bed that night and get up next morning, life just keeps going. And you know what? God will be there with you throughout every bit of it. Amen. I mean, do you ever think that God brought you this far, loving you all this way, giving you all the hope he's given you, relieving your fears, supplying your needs, just so that he might bring you up to this point and just overwhelm you with disappointment? I mean, that's not who we serve. That's not our God. He doesn't do that. Amen. Has he been playing with you all this time? Getting you all excited about going to heaven with him in eternity and then pull the rug out from under you at the last minute and leave you to perish? Is that who we serve? That's not our God. It's impossible for God to do that. Because that's not Jesus. That's not how he has been, and that's not how he will be, and that's not how he is right now. He loves you. Listen. If we're honest with ourselves, we can think of time after time, example after example of how the Lord has taken us through one dark valley after another, and one after another we seem like we wouldn't make it through. Over and over and over and over again, he's carried us through things. We just have to trust him. We have to believe him. We have to give him our fears and believe that God is going to take us through this and quit doubting him. He loves you. He loves me. Amen. We have never in our life been loved like we've been loved by the Savior. Nobody's ever been as patient with us as our Lord Jesus Christ has been. Nobody else has ever cared for us in our darkest hour like our Lord Jesus Christ has done and will do from now on. I mean, why in the world would we ever doubt when we're in the middle of things that he is not right there in control of things? Let me ask you this. Do you doubt his power? Well, I mean, we have to do something. We've got to fail somehow. I mean, we do. Let's be honest. We do sometimes. It's not that we don't, I mean, we know these things. We know that who God is. But yet in the middle of our circumstances, we seem to forget. Because we've got to put the blame somewhere. I mean, you would think these disciples wouldn't have doubted his power. I mean, like I said, they'd watched him cast out devils. They'd watched him heal the sick and raise the dead and do all those things. I mean, they've been in the middle of a crowded street with him, and he's just healing people all over the place. They've been with him in the temple when he'd done it. He'd handled every manner of suffering, every manner of sickness. He'd handled it. And so how could they doubt his power? They'd seen it displayed powerfully right before their own eyes. Can't he control the devils? Didn't he control them? He controlled the devil. He cast them out. The devils trembled in fear when Jesus showed up. Can't the same Savior who handled the devils that needed to be cast out, can he handle the wind that's blowing too? Yeah. He can cast out diseases, and he can't calm a thunderstorm. I mean, they were panicking. They thought they were going to die. Kind of ridiculous. And kind of wicked too. Because they were suggesting by their statement that there was a limit to God's power. As if God, he's asleep, we're going to die. Think about the silliness of that situation. I mean, put your arms through. Had you been there, I don't know what you'd have done. Had I been in that boat, I don't know how I'd have reacted. Maybe I'd have panicked just like they did. Maybe you would have too. I don't know, but you see, for a moment, they lost their grip on who God was. You see what I'm saying? Somehow, this thunderstorm was beyond God's power for a second. And I'm afraid that sometimes we do that too. We look at our thunderstorm that's bearing down on us. We look at the lightning flashing in our life. We feel the wind blowing against our face. We feel the rain beating down on us. We feel the tossing of the ship. And we say, oh no, we're going to die. Oh no, this is going to swallow us alive. How are we going to make it through this? I don't know how we'll make it. Well, we forgot God, evidently, and that God's able. I mean, you think about all our experience with God down through your life and all the goodness and all the mercy that God's shown to you all through your life, and now think we've run up on a situation that's too big for God to handle. What are we going to do? I mean, is anything too hard for God? You would think so, the way people act sometimes. I mean, he can feed every creature in the woods. He can feed every creature in the sea. Surely he can handle me and you. You think? Is your situation that you run up on so different, so difficult that God can't handle it? God's omnipotent, folks. He's omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That covers it. There's no other place other than heaven and earth. That's it. And he has all power. And you know what? He's all powerful whether we'll admit it or not. Amen? He doesn't need our approval to be omnipotent. He's still omnipotent. And that right there should solve your problem, the fact that God is all powerful. So why in the world would we ever doubt his power? If we'll just trust him, he'll help us throughout whatever we're going through. So let's move on to another question. Maybe you question, do you ever question God's wisdom? God know what he's doing. Sometimes I've heard people say that. I don't understand what in the world God's doing here. Well, does that mean God's not doing something right just because you don't understand it? That's what people say sometimes. I just feel like God just let go of me. He just turned loose of me. I just don't know. I don't know what he's doing. I just don't understand it. Well, okay. You don't understand it, but that don't mean you should question it. I mean, you think about it, them disciples, they may have thought this because they're fishermen, okay? They've been out on the, how many times they've been out on a lake? You know what I'm saying? They know the weather. They understand the situation. And maybe when Jesus said, hey, guys, let's go ahead and get in the boat. Let's go ahead and sail across. Some of them may have thought, now, wait a minute. Don't Jesus know about this time of the day? There's a lot of storms hit the Sea of Galilee right about dark. I mean, they knew that. When night falls, sun goes down, and the cool air comes down in mountains, that's when the storms come up. And they knew that. And maybe they just said, you know what? The wind sometimes gets up so bad out here that you can't steer a ship. It's just going round and round wherever it wants to. What in the world was he thinking? I don't know that they thought that. But it's very possible that some of them did. May not have said that loud. What in the world was he thinking to get us out here in the middle of this ocean? Or in the middle of this sea? I mean, he asked them to go. Right? He said, come on, get in the ship with me. Okay, when I got saved, Jesus said, come on and walk with me. Well, I'm walking with him. Sometimes he leads. We sing it in the songs. What is it? Song says, sometimes he leads through waters deep. Trials fall across the way. He leads that way. Hey, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's leading me down there in the presence of mine enemies. Right? David said, in the middle of all that, I'm not going to be afraid. Well, these disciples were afraid in the middle of all that. They were down in the valley of the shadow of death in that boat, and they're questioning, why? It don't make logical sense. This don't make sense to my fisherman brain, my ship-driving brain, that he wants us out in the middle of the water in the middle of the night like this in these conditions. Why would God lead me in my life to this situation for everything to fall apart? That's the thing we'd say. Why did God? Well, I've heard so many people over the years in church say these things to me. Well, we trying to follow God and trying to do what's right, and we don't understand why all this stuff is happening to us. And people getting mad at God. People quit church. They give up on God. Why? Because they hit some rough patches in their life. They don't understand what God's doing, so they think that God's doing something wrong to them. And if they did say stuff like that, they ought to know better. Because, I mean, they sat at his feet. They listened to what he had to say. They knew that he had infinite wisdom. So how'd they doubt him? Think about it. And sometimes when we are in those situations, why in the world would we think that God doesn't know what he's doing in our life? I mean, do we dare accuse our Creator with being careless or reckless with us? God's wisdom is infinite. So, I mean, infinite. There's no end to it. His wisdom. So he's got to be right always. Amen? Even if you can't understand it, God still has to be right. Amen? I heard a preacher say a long time ago, I've disagreed with God lots of times, but I was always wrong. Amen? I disagreed until I saw different. Amen? And God showed me different. God's not going to deal with you the wrong way. God's not going to be reckless with you. Listen, you and I, we mess up constantly, don't we? Our life is one big mass, big pileup of mistakes, one after another, a constant repetition of floundering and blundering. That's all we've done ever since we got started. But yet, God, on the other hand, I mean, you look at his creation. You see his skill, his power in his creation. I mean, his magnificent creation. Just walk through a flower garden sometime and just appreciate what God has done and is able to do. Just look, I stand on my back porch this morning watching just a whole mess of field larks out there, their yellow bellies out there flying around, just thinking how pretty they were, you know, them bright, pretty yellow feathered birds that God made. And just watching my dogs out there playing, just appreciating what God created when he created a canine. I mean, they're so smart and they're so intelligent. I mean, just attuned to what you're doing. I mean, they're just almost real, like a human. I mean, I know they're real, but I mean, they're almost like human-like. And I mean, God made that. God made. I mean, we look at the sky. We look at the night sky. You look at God. God made that, and he holds all that together. And our little old situation is so tiny. And this little thing we're going through is so tiny compared to all that. I mean, we're wrong. It ain't God. We don't understand. That's because we're not trusting him enough, I guess. God has a way through it all day. That's what David said. Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. God's not going to mess up. He can't mess up. If God ever said, uh-oh, or whoops, the entire world would disappear and everything in it because he'd cease to be God. God can't make a mistake. He never has. We should never look at the Lord like he could make a mistake. He says to us, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says that we're to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, when that thought runs through your mind, what in the world is God doing? We ought to immediately grab that thought and say, no, we're not going to sit and dwell on what does God do and why is he, why does God, was God left me? I mean, we're going to throw them thoughts down and say, no, that can't be because our God is not that way. That's not his character. That's not who he is. I want to focus on something else. They were in the middle of a terrible storm. They were in the middle of a dangerous situation. But I want you to realize this. They were in the same boat with the Lord. They were all in there together. Whenever a huge wave come along, slammed inside the ship and got them all stirred up and afraid in their heart, guess what? It moved Jesus also. It had to. Why? He's in the same ship they are. When the ship rose up and then slammed back down into the waves. He felt it. He was laying there on a pillow in the boat. I mean, he knew it was happening. Listen, if the boat goes down with them, it's got to go down with him too. And that ought to give them peace in their heart right there. If I sink, Jesus is going to sink too. You got to remember that the person who's trusting Christ is sailing in the same ship with Jesus. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:3, he said, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So if you go down, look here. You're hid with Christ in God. If you go down, he going down with you. And God ain't going down. Amen? God's not going to perish. You're not going to perish either. You're going to make it through this. Jesus said, "Because I live, you shall live." Amen? Because he lives. We sang that song. I was going to sing it today, but I changed the song at the last minute. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. The Bible tells us that whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. We won't be perplexed and not know what to do either. If we'll just follow the Lord and get our eyes on the Lord, we're not going to have to be ashamed ever. Listen, Jesus Christ can never be unable to save. Jesus Christ can never be unfaithful to his promise to save all those that trust in him. If there was something he said, "No, I'm not going to save you. You want to trust me, but I'm not going to save you," he wouldn't be God. Because the Bible says, God tells us that Christ came to save sinners, right? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's not like God is in the business of being picky, because the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. So you can't come up with a reason why God would look at you and say, "Well, I'm done with you. I'm through." Because that's not who he is. If you're trusting your works to get you to him, then you're never going to get there. But if you believed upon the sacrifice that he sent in sending his son to shed his blood and die for you, if you believed upon his death, burial, and resurrection, then God can never, ever, ever let you go under. God is never going to leave you. He's never going to turn loose of you. He's never going to stop working on you. He's never going to stop caring for you. He's never going to stop protecting you. Think about this for a second. The power that made the storm that was on them was the same power they had to trust. Think about that. The very power that sent the storm was the very power they had to trust. Every gust of wind came from God. Every wave that slammed into the hull came from God. Came with his permission or had his command. It was his power outside the ship that was putting them in danger. And they ought to know that the same power was inside the ship keeping them from harm. And was going to deliver them. See, life ain't one big game of chance. Stuff just don't, some things happen to some people, other things happen to other people, luck and all that. That stuff don't exist. That's just an idea made up by man. Some people aren't lucky and some people unlucky. Everything happens for a reason. Everything is on purpose. Everything that takes place, God is in control of. Does God allow people to go through hardships and trials? You betcha. There's a reason for that. And we'll see that in just a second. God's hand is in everything. And I know there's laws of nature, and you say, you can't get around that. That's just the way things work. But the laws of nature don't have any force of their own. There's divine power behind the force of nature. God's in control of all of it. So every trial that we get, God sends it. They're trials that he made, and they're tools in his hands. These trials of life are tools in God's hands to control. He controls it. He lessens them when he wants to, and he increases them when he wants to. And he directs them according to his own will. And I know you say, well, why does God do all that? He has a reason. I'll talk about that in just a minute. I want to share with you a story. And maybe this will help. There's a woman on a boat, and her husband was the captain of the boat. And a storm came up. And she got very anxious, got very afraid. And she asked him, she said, how is it that you're so calm and so calm and collected while I'm so panicked? And he reached up on the wall and took down a sword and drew it out, and he held it right to her chest. And he said, are you afraid? And she laughed at him. She said, no. He said, don't you realize a sword is sharp and could cut right into you and kill you in a second? And she said, yeah, but it's in the hand of my husband. So I'm not afraid. And he said, exactly. That storm out there is in the hand of your God. And there's nothing to fear. You see, I mean, a gun can't go off without somebody to pull a trigger. And just because there's a gun don't mean you're going to get shot by it. Right? Just because there's a storm doesn't mean it's going to destroy you. There's a reason behind it. God has allowed that storm to come. See, God controls the storms. I mean, you think about it. The storms of life, everything that we face is just as much in the hand of God as that sword was in the hand of that man. Right? Everything. So there's no need to fear. I mean, when the thunders roll and they rattle the windows, there's no need to fear. When the lightning flashes, that's just the flash of God's sword doing, just showing off his power. That thunder rolling, that's just God's voice echoing across the land, displaying his power. So why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? There's another thing I want to ask. What if they sunk? What if the boat sunk? What if it went down? What if the worst that could happen happens? You sink to the bottom of the ocean. You never get deeper in God's hand. So, well, yeah, but I die. Well, listen to what Paul said. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. First thing he mentioned was death. Death can't separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. So what would happen? Our soul would fly away from death and into eternity in a moment. That's what would happen. Death would end all our troubles, rid us of all our burdens forever, and we'd be at home with the Lord, and we would never have to go out anywhere from him again, ever. So, I mean, yeah, what if we sunk? But I mean, for the believer, what is there to fear? Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? That's what the Bible says. Why? Because Christ has conquered death for us. I mean, he's conquered all those things, and he's made it so that when a believer dies, there's nothing to fear. It's a joyous time because we're crossing over into his presence. I mean, this world is a world of sorrow. This world is a world of sin. And when we come to that last moment, into that threshold, there's nothing to fear. So even if we die, the worst that can happen is we fall into God's waiting arms. That's the worst that can happen. And there's one other reason why they might have been afraid. And that's because he was asleep. And you might think, well, I don't see how that was a comfort. He's asleep. I want to read you something that Charles Spurgeon wrote about a ship ride he took one time. He said, let me tell you what happened to me one night when I was on board ship. In my sleep, I woke up because I thought I heard something slip. Something had slipped. It was the anchor that had been cast overboard. I called out to one who slept near me, What's the matter? He said, there's something the matter, I feel sure. Why? I asked, and he replied, because the captain is up. It was the middle of the night, but the captain was up. So I also was up very soon and saw that the captain was up and that the sailors were quietly getting out of boat. If my friend had told me the captain was asleep, I might have slept on, for I would have said, it's all right if he's asleep. I need not trouble myself to know what's the matter. But when I heard that he was up, I thought it was time for me to be up too. And if you were on board ship and saw the captain busy getting everything ready and doing it very deliberately and quietly, he said, you would say to yourself, I don't know what's wrong, but I feel sure that there's something the matter. The captain seemed so anxious. But if at any time you were at sea and you said to another passenger, where is the captain? And the reply was, oh, he's in his room sound asleep. You'd say, oh, well, then everything's okay. Right? Jesus was asleep. That ought to told him. It's okay. If he was up and he looked concerned, it's time for us to get concerned. But he's sleeping. He's asleep. You understand what I'm saying? This world can't hurt us. It can't. A friend of mine who, not one of the most wonderful people you've ever met, but he's a preacher nonetheless, he made this statement in a message and I never ever forgot it. And I've said before, it's probably the one profound thing he ever said, and he probably heard it from somebody else. But he said this, he said, you are invincible until God is through with you. Think about that. You're invincible. Can't nothing come and get you until God says it's time. Think about that. That should let go of your fear. That should turn loose of all your anxiety. I am invincible till God is done with me. And when God is done with me on this earth, I couldn't hang on to this life if I wanted to. But until then, I am in His almighty, unchanging hand. There's no need to fear. Why did he go to sleep in the storm? Because he knew everything was going to be all right. That's why. Why shouldn't he go to sleep? Would he have gone to sleep and laid down to rest if he knew his children was in any danger? Would he have done that? No, he wouldn't. So that's why he went to sleep. And I don't know. When we may think to ourselves, well, I ain't got no rest from my troubles. Maybe I have in the past, but right now I hadn't. Lord doesn't seem to be doing much work in me. You know why, maybe? Maybe because you don't need to get over it. Maybe you don't need to get past it. Maybe right now you need to go through it. You know, Matthew 10:28-31 says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able both to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of much value, more value than many sparrows. God loves us. Again, God, He takes care of us. Nothing happens to us that God is not completely aware of and involved in. If you're going through a trial, if you're going through some burdensome thing in life and you just can't seem to get through it, and I can say, hey, I know I'm in that category right now, been through it for a long time, and I've at times, I mean, this message is for me this morning, because at times I question, God, what are you doing? I know He's in control, but sometimes I'm like an impatient kid in the back seat going, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? I want to say, God, where are we going? I don't understand why things have turned out the way they turned out. I don't get it. If God doesn't come immediately to help you, it's because there isn't any urgency. None whatsoever. Because you're not in any great danger. Maybe God sees, when He looks down at you, He sees it's best for you to bear some troubles. Put up with them a little bit longer. You know why? Because you're learning from them. He wants to leave you in the furnace just a little bit longer because, you know what? He can see the dross is coming out of you. Y'all ever seen that show on TV, Forged in Fire, where they make knives and swords? I like that show. I think it's very fascinating to watch them blacksmith. and they put that steel in that furnace and it blasts on. You know what happens? All that slag works its way out of the metal to the outside, and they take a hammer and they beat it, and all that slag comes off. That's trash that's in the metal. That stuff is going to make that metal, make that sword or that knife weak. And so the fire drives the impurities out of the metal, and they pound it out, and they tear it. Hit it on that anvil, and they jar and all that stuff loose from it. They put it back in there, and they heat it again, and they do it time and time again until they get it just right, and then they put it in that quench, and they finish it off. And God may have us in the fire, and we're getting all that slag out of us that's no good. That's earthly slag, worldly ideas, worldly thinking. And God's getting that junk out of us so that we can be something for His glory. He knows what He's doing. You may not understand what He's doing, but He knows. He's teaching you how to walk by faith. That's what He's doing. And I ask you just like Him, why are you fearful? Oh, ye little faith. I said to myself, why am I fearful at times? Has God had to say that to you? Is He saying that to you this morning? Why are you fearful? Are you afraid of what's coming in your life? Are you afraid of the future? Are you afraid of what's going to happen in this country? Are you afraid of what's going to happen in your own household? Are you afraid of what's going to happen at your place of business? Are you afraid of what's going to happen with your health? Are you afraid? I mean, listen, we've all got ships on the same water. But God is in control of the storm. So why are you fearful? I mean, isn't it good to know that He loves you? Isn't it good to know that no matter what happens, He's not going to lose power? He's not going to change His love? He's working on you and working in you to change you into His image? The Bible tells us that we are conformed into the image of God's Son. And how is that conforming done? Well, I can tell you, I used to work conforming things. And a great furnace had to be heated up to 1,240 degrees. And again, that slag, that trash, that dross had to be got out of that metal before it could be used. And then once it was pliable and you could see a reflection of yourself in it when you looked over into it, then it was ready to be dipped out, put into the machine, and pushed into the mold. And every one of them that came out of that mold looked just alike because they were in the image of the mold. And our image is Christ that we're to be pressed into. And God has to remove the impurities in us so that we can be Christ-like. God knows what He's doing. No matter where you're at in life, no matter where you're at in life, no matter whether you just got saved or you've been saved for a long, long, long time, God's got you right where He wants you, and God's working on you. Don't question Him. Trust Him. Say, Lord, teach me. Teach me so I can learn. You want to get out of your mess? Learn something. Learn the lesson so He don't have to keep taking you back and back and back and back and back. Amen? I'm going to close with this verse, John 16:33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." You shall have, it's coming, you're going to have it. But He said, I'm telling you these things so that you can have peace, because even though you're going to have trials and tribulation, He said, but be of good cheer. Cheer up, put a smile on your face. I have overcome the world. So in Him, we have the victory over whatever. Listen, we can't see it. We don't have to. We walk by faith because God's in control. He's the captain of our ship. Amen? Don't doubt Him. Trust Him. And I know I'm not talking to those in here in the room, because every one of you, according to your testimony, you're saved. But I want to say this for all those that are listening to me. If you ain't got no peace in your life, if you don't have peace in Christ Jesus, it's because you don't have Christ Jesus. Because He is the peace giver. He's the Prince of Peace. And there's some out there listening to me this morning, and they, if they were to die right now, they would fall into a burning hell because they don't have salvation through Jesus. And I urge every single one who's not born again to listen to what the Word of God has taught you today. Listen to the fact that Jesus Christ is a shelter in the midst of the storm. He'll take you through the storm. He'll hold on to you. He'll protect you. He'll care for you, and He'll take you all the way through this life and out of this life into everlasting life and forevermore to be by His side. And He doesn't ask anything but that we trust Him and we believe Him and we put our faith in Him. And right where somebody is right now listening to me, they can, right where they are, if they'll just turn to Christ, just turn to Him and believe on Him, He'll save them today. I say to you today, if you're here and you're dealing with things and it's overwhelming you, turn to Him. Turn to Him and say, Lord, I'm just going to put my eyes on You and I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You when I can't see where to go. I'm going to trust You. When it gets so bad, fear tries to come upon me, Lord, I'm just going to trust You. I'm going to close with this thought. A good friend of mine, he's now with the Lord, Brother Mike Edwards from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Where they live, as tornadoes come through there all the time. And they were supposed to be a F3 or F4 headed toward their house one night. And his wife and his daughter, they had the weather radio, and they were hopping up and down, you know, panicked and didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. And they were asking him, Mike, where are we going to get? What are we going to do? In the trailer house. Where are we going to go? He said, I'm going here, going to bed. She said, going to bed? Are you crazy? He said, the same God made that tornado knows right where I'm at. And if He wants to get me, there ain't nothing I can do to stop it. So I'm going here, going to bed. And he said, you know what happened? That tornado picked up and went over our house is what happened. Never touched nothing in our place. That's the kind of God we serve. I remember hearing the story of Dr. John R. Rice holding a revival meeting in Dallas, Texas. And in the middle of that revival meeting, one of the most horrible, I mean, it was a tent meeting, an outside tent meeting back in the 40s or 50s. And while they were holding that meeting, one of the worst storms that hit the Metroplex area was hitting. And there was 70-mile-an-hour winds. The sky was green, lightning flashing everywhere. And that tent they were in was going to blow plumb off. And they all began to pray and ask God to protect them. And I wasn't there, I can't tell you, but from what I have read, in a one-block area, where that tent meeting was being held, it did not rain a drop. Storm went around that block. That's the God we serve. He's able to do all things. God's able to take care of us, even when we don't know how. God can take care of you and get you through whatever you're facing. Quit being afraid. Be brave. Be bold in Christ. Not in you, but in Christ. And He can get you through it. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for the message. I ask You, Lord, please. Lord, when the devil throws things at us to tempt us to fear, Lord, we pray that we would be confident in You in that hour. That, Lord, we'd rebuke the devil, remind him of who we serve. Lord, may we not blame everything on the devil, but realize that everything that comes our way, Lord, You allow it to come our way. And Lord, again, help us to remember that You didn't allow anything, but Lord, what we needed for the moment. Lord, just like Jonah needed that whale, he didn't want that whale, but Lord, he needed that whale. And Lord, You'll send something to get us if we need it too. But it'll be from Your hand that we need not fear, knowing that You love us and Your love for us is greater than we can even understand. Lord, I pray for the ones out there who are lost. I pray for the ones who are nearest hell. I pray for their salvation. I pray, Lord, for this whole sin-sick world. I pray, Father, for the Holy Ghost of God to bring revival in this day and time that we live in. Lord, I know it doesn't look good for this world. I know, Lord, that it looks, all signs point to Your coming. But Father, I just pray that, Lord, if it be possible, here in the last hours of this age of grace, Lord, you'd send revival upon your land. Lord, you'd send revival through the hearts of your men of God that stand in the pulpits. You'd send revival in the hearts of those who sit in the pews. And Lord God, may we reach out in our communities with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may revival spread and folks be saved. Father, we pray that you do something great in this last hours we live in. Father God, pray for each and every one under the sound of my voice that, Lord, you'd meet their need today. Father, you'd just overflow their heart with your love and Lord, the knowledge that you're in control. Lord God, I just pray, Father, you bless us now. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.